I thought for a minute Dean was up here behind the podium. I thought maybe he'd take the sermon time. Won't be long before he'll be doing that. I'm going to ask you to do something a little different that I don't know that we've ever done in church. I know that you probably spent hours this morning picking out what shoes you were going to wear. I'm going to ask you just to bend down and to untie them and just slip them off. I've never preached without shoes before, so this is kind of new to me. I think you'll understand why in just a minute. I didn't say throw them at me.
I thought I'd see if I started something.
No, I don't want to have 50 pairs of shoes thrown at me. Our reading today comes from the book of Exodus, from the third chapter. Exodus is from the same root, the name of the book is from the same root as the word for exit. It's a story about the Israelites leaving the land of Egypt, and here's where it really begins. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, and yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I have to turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not being burned up." And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." And then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good land, a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivitites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign that is with you, that is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What's his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent you me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord your God, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this title for all generations.'" Here ends this reading from the book of Exodus. It's the story about Moses and the burning bush. I tried to remember the first time I heard the story of Moses and the burning bush, and I think it was so far back that I was too young to remember anything at that point. I tried to remember the last time I heard the story of Moses and the burning bush referred to, and it's one of those that just keeps kind of popping up in conversations at obscure times sometimes, isn't it? So I got to wondering, why do we keep telling this story? What is it that's so compelling about this story? What does it have to teach us about ourselves? What does it have to teach us about God? What does it mean? Moses is beyond the middle of nowhere watching his father-in-law's sheep. And all of a sudden, there's this bush that appears that's burning but not being burnt. He thinks to himself, "That's really strange. I think I'll take a closer look." When he gets closer, God speaks to him. God tells him that he has a special mission to lead his people out of oppression in Egypt. Moses says, "I don't really think I'm the best person to do this. I don't think I'm the person you're looking for." And then God says, "I think we can do this together, if we work on it together." We learn God's name. Do you remember God's name? I am, which in Hebrew was probably pronounced Yahweh. Here's a point that caught my attention. It wasn't until after Moses had turned aside because he was curious about this bush that God spoke to him, which made me wonder, I wonder how many other people saw the burning bush, got out their cell phones, took a video, posted it on Facebook, and then just kept on going. How many people do you think saw the burning bush and then simply just walked by? A couple of months ago, Dawn and I got a new car. Her little sports car was 10 years old and was costing more to keep on the road than we thought it was worth, and so we got a new car. We got an Audi. Never had an Audi before. Here's something I've noticed. I've noticed how many other cars there are just like it that are out there. I didn't know there were that many of that kind of car on the road before, did you? I've noticed also there are TV commercials for this car. I'd never seen TV commercials for that car before. There are billboards that advertise this car that I'd never noticed before. Here's the other thing I've noticed. I've looked at the people that are driving these kinds of cars, and I've noticed they look a little smarter than the average person and a little better looking. Yeah?
We were talking.
You've noticed that too, Derek, huh?
We were wondering if you've never had an Audi before, does that mean it was in
any before?
That's a belly button joke, sir. Sorry, go ahead with the car story.
Well, here's the thing that it got me to wondering. How many other things had I been missing that I hadn't noticed? How many other things do I just let go by without paying enough attention? A relationship by its nature requires that two people be in it. If you like somebody and they don't like you, it's really not a relationship. You can't be in a relationship all by yourself. If you do all the talking to somebody else and they're not doing any of the talking, then you're really not in a conversation, are you? Do you know people like that? They do all the talking and not a lot of listening? Not much of a relationship, is it? In our relationship with God, God will only come so far. And then God needs for us to take a step in His direction. Do you want to be in a relationship with God? Are you interested in what God has to say? If God has a purpose for your life, do you want to know what it is? Are you interested in knowing better how to hear what God's saying? Then maybe there's something that we can learn from how Moses hears God in the story about the burning bush. Like, for example, we tend to hear better when we're at our worst. We tend to hear better when we're at our worst. Moses is out in the wilderness. Do you remember why Moses is out in the wilderness? Remember where Moses' story began? The Pharaoh was oppressing the Hebrew people, and he decided he didn't want any Hebrew children around, and so he started killing them off. Moses' mother wanted to save him, and so she put together this basket, sealed it, and then floated him down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, found Moses and pulled him up out of the water. So how do you go from being the stepson of the Pharaoh to being hiding out in the wilderness? Do you remember what happened in between? Moses one day saw a fight between an Egyptian and a Hebrew. He was a Hebrew person, and so he decided to stand up for the Hebrew person because he was one of him. He ended up killing the Egyptian. Then he realized that what he was done was wrong, and he was afraid that somebody would find him out, and so he ran away. And the safest place that he could find to hide was out in the middle of nowhere with his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. He'd messed up. He was feeling guilty and afraid. It was in those moments that he heard God speaking to him. Have you ever found that to be true? It's often when we're at our worst that we hear God speaking the most clearly. When we're afraid and confused, it's then that our defenses are down and God's voice can come through. We see God appear in ways that we never would have imagined otherwise. When things are going well, I think we tend to think we can do it on our own, and we tend not to be as open to hearing God's voice speak to us. Here's a classic story that I think illustrates that well. Have you heard the story about Alfred? Alfred was a Swedish chemist that lived at the end of the 1800s who had some 350 different patents for different types of dynamite. He was the dynamite king of the late 1800s. What he'd do is license these patents and then sell them to various governments. So during the Civil War, he was making money off both sides of the war, did very, very well for himself. Then in 1888, his brother died. And they ran, one newspaper ran his obituary instead of his brother's. It said, "Merchant of Death dies." And so he got the chance to read his own obituary. And he wasn't sure that was the way, he was 80 years old, wasn't sure that was the way he wanted to be remembered. So he decided it was time for a change in his life. He took his fortune and used it to establish awards for accomplishments in various fields which would benefit humanity. And now that, rather than being the perfecter of dynamite, is what he's most remembered for. Have you figured out his last name? Alfred Nobel is now famous for establishing the Nobel Peace Prize. How are you feeling this morning? Are you feeling guilty and afraid? Have you made decisions this week that you wish you had made differently? Do you hear God telling you maybe that it's time for a change? Maybe that is God trying to get your attention. Maybe you're ready to hear God speak in a new way. Moses saw a bush that was burning but was not getting burnt up. That's not the way that it usually works. Usually when you light something on fire, it burns and it's gone. So the message, I think, in that is that often God speaks through unusual things. Often when God speaks, since God's ways are not our ways, often what we see is something that's unusual or maybe even supernatural. Here is an illustration, I think, that illustrates that. There's a guy by the name of William Cowper, who was an English poet and hymn writer, who lived, this story comes from 1754. He got a law degree and was admitted to the bar, but he never practiced. He was a shy and gentle person who really wasn't emotionally equipped for law. He was often depressed, often had anxiety attacks, and really suffered from an intense fit of melancholy and spiritual despair. We're told that one evening he decided that continuing to struggle through this life really wasn't worth it. He decided he was going to end his life. So he called a cabbie, which would have been a horse and cart that came up to pick him up at his house. He got into it. This is London, and there was this horrible fog over town. And he told him he wanted the cabbie to take him to the Thames River where he was going to jump in. They wandered around town, just kept wandering around, and because of the fog, they couldn't figure out where the Thames River was. So they just kept driving around town, hoping that they'd stumble across the river. Eventually, William got so frustrated, he decided, all right, I'm just going to try to go it on my own. He got out of the cab and started trying to find his way on his own. First thing he came to was a door. Knocked on the door, opened it, and do you know where he was? He was at his own house. He went inside, decided that was a sign from God, told you that he was a poet. He wrote a hymn, and the words, the beginning words of it went like this: God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Why is that important to us today, this morning? Well, because I bet sometime this week you're going to see something unusual or extraordinary. Something that just doesn't look the way that it ought to be. If you turn aside, make the effort to pay attention, I'll bet you'll find God is trying to tell you something. That's also the reason next week, by the way, we're going to do a Bike to Church Sunday. Have you heard that? We're encouraging people to bike to church. We're going to have awards for who bikes the furthest and who has the shortest distance, who is the oldest biker, has the oldest bike, some things like that. The hope is that by biking to church, maybe something that you drive by all the time will catch your attention in a new way. Maybe you'll see something that you've seen a million times before and you'll see it in a different way this time. And out of that, maybe you'll hear God speak to you. The last thing that I'd like to notice is Moses' reaction after God spoke to him. Do you remember how he reacted? Did he jump right on board? Did he say, "Thank God, I've been looking for my purpose all my life. Now I know it. Let's get going"? Quite the opposite, huh? He said, "God, I think you've got the wrong person. It would be better to have somebody who is a good speaker, and I'm not a good speaker. There's lots of better people out there who could do this better than me." And Moses is exactly right. He isn't the most qualified person. I think it's a lesson that God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. Sometimes the greatest ability is availability. God says we can do this because we're going to do it together. When we're working together with God, nothing is impossible. As a source of encouragement, God gives Moses his name. His name is I Am. I Am. You know God's name. You know what that means? That was enough for Moses to lead the Israelite people out of the land of Egypt. You now have exactly what Moses had. You have the same power that Moses had. Every now and then I'll sign my name. Usually it's to checks. What I'm saying is that the amount of money that I'm saying that I'm turning over to you is actually there in the account. Isn't that what we do when we sign our name? We say, I vouch for what is written on this check or on this letter. So what does it mean to end our prayers by saying, I pray this in Jesus' name or in God's name? I think it means that whatever we are asking for in our prayer, we think God would sign his name to. I found a story this week about something that happened up around Cleveland. It was 2009, up around outside of Cleveland. There was a guy who had an oil well that caught on fire. This was not in the news section, it was in an editorial section, but I thought it was really interesting, so I'll share it with you. The oil well caught on fire, and so he immediately put out an all-points bulletin to fire departments to try to get them to help him put the fire out, his oil well fire, but the fire departments that responded couldn't get within 100 yards. This fire was just way too hot. There were firehouses from places like Newell and Chester and Wellsville and Dillonville that all sent their help, but none of them dared to get close enough to the fire because it was just blazing out of control. Finally, though, there was one fire department from a volunteer fire department from Calcutta Township that showed up. They had a rickety old fire engine that only had one ladder on it. Rickety old truck equipped with a single ladder. They had two buckets of water, three buckets of sand, and a few blankets. As they got close to where the other fire trucks had stopped, this fire truck just kept going. Didn't even stop. Came right up, barreled right up until the crew was right next to in the thick of the blaze. They jumped off the truck, threw the two buckets of water and three buckets of sand onto the fire, and then used the blankets to pat out the other fires that were going on around. The owner of the oil well that had burnt offered a $30,000 reward for anybody that could put it out. So when they put it out, he had his $30,000, and he went to this rickety old fire truck driver and said, here's your $30,000. Now, what are you going to do with that $30,000? The fire truck driver said, well, the first thing that I'm going to do is we're going to get some new brakes for that stupid old truck. Sometimes we're thrown into the fire through no fault of our own. Is there something that you know that God has been asking you to do? Have you been resisting? Maybe now is the time to move forward. God will go out of his way to get your attention, but requires that we go part of the way in God's direction. Even if it means his own son dying on a cross, on a hillside, in the garbage dump outside of town. Most people won't even notice. Most people will just walk on by. But how about you? Will you stop what you're doing long enough to hear God speaking to you? You know that Jesus picked up on that phrase, that name for God, and used it in describing himself a number of times. For you who are hungry for spiritual nourishment that has been neglected in the too fast pace of modern life, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. To you who have strayed from the straight and narrow path and now want to find your way back, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. To you who feel you can't get back onto the path because you've strayed too far, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. To you who've been drained of any joy in life by depression, despair, or grief, Jesus says, I am the vine. If you're a teenager who wants solid guidance in life choices like where to go to school or what to do for a living or who your soulmate is, Jesus says, I am the way. To you who are wrestling with ethical puzzles on a confused and confusing world and not sure what is even right and wrong anymore, Jesus says, I am the truth. To you who are coming near the end of your journey and wonder what lies ahead, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. May it be so. Amen.